Glory to Jesus. Thank God for the word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, so we've been studying remission of sins, forgiveness in Christ Jesus, and we began to see metaphors for salvation, and we've been considering justification, the idea of justification, and then we've seen so far how that justification in Christ Jesus happens by the gift of eternal life. Justification in Christ Jesus is not merely God trying to prove that we are not guilty. We saw yesterday, particularly, that the whole world already is guilty in the sight of God. Hallelujah. The whole world is already guilty in the sight of God. So it's too late to begin to say the world is not guilty. Men are already convicted as guilty in the sight of God. Hallelujah. So you see Romans chapter 3 from verse 19. Bible says, therefore Bible says, by deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 20. Now verse 19 says, we know that whatever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may become guilty, or the whole world may be guilty in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Romans 3:19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may be guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. In fact, at Romans chapter 3, from verse 10, the Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is no one who understands, there is no one who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have become altogether unprofitable. There is no one who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues, they have practiced deceit. The poison of herbs is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Hallelujah. So welcome to another episode on Every Day with Jesus broadcast. So we continue to study this today, justification by faith. So the whole world is guilty in the sight of God already. Men are already guilty. Look at Romans chapter 3 again. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. Glory to Jesus. Romans 3:9. Bible says, what then, are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. Both Jews and Greeks, all under sin. Now, when he mentions Jews there, it shows you that even those who were so devoted and passionate about the law have been concluded to be under sin. Gentiles were nations that were given to idolatry, and you know, some of them were proselytes who converted to Judaism. So it says both Jews and Greeks, whether they were Jews or Greeks, does not matter in this thing called sin. Does not matter, you know, with respect to being damned and being condemned. Being a Jew was not an advantage. Being a Jew was not a privilege, you know, over sin, or advantage over sin. All men have been concluded to be under sin. Praise Jesus. In fact, chapter 3 from verse 1, look at how it starts by saying, what advantage then has the Jew? What is the advantage of being a Jew? What is the advantage of being a Jew, of being born of the lineage of Abraham naturally? What advantage does a Jew have? And then it says, what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. That's all. The advantage of the Jews was because they were the oracles of God were committed to them, which speaks of the scriptures. They received the scriptures. The prophets ministered to them. In fact, over half of the Bible focused on one race, the Jews. All the prophets ministered to the Jews. Glory to Jesus. Except in few cases where they had to, you know, speak to Gentile nations, rebuke kings and all. But particularly their ministry was to the Jews. Glory to Jesus. Even Jesus himself came upon the scene and says, I have not been sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So Jesus himself ministered to the Jews. He ministered in a Jewish context. Hallelujah. So chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. But that was all. Hallelujah. That was all. That they had a link with Christ. I mean, Bible refers to them as his own. He came to his own did not receive him, John 1:11. So, chiefly to them were committed the oracles of God, you know, the covenant belonged to them, the fathers belonged to them, and all that. You find that at Romans chapter 9. But this did not exclude them from being condemned. This did not exclude them from being concluded as being under sin. This did not give them a right to be justified just because they were Jews, natural descendants of Abraham. No. Hallelujah. In fact, verse 3, he says, for what if some did not believe? with their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unjust who inflicts wrath? I speak as a man. Certainly not. For then how will God judge the world? For if the truth of God has increased through my lie to his glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner? And why not say, let us do evil that good may come, as we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say their condemnation is just? What then, are we better than they? That is, Jews. Are Jews better than Gentiles? Not at all. We have previously concluded and charged both Jews and Greeks that they all are under sin. Hallelujah. In fact, when he began to quote the Old Testament from verse 10, as it is written, there's no righteous, no not one, there's no who understands. This particular OT writings were written to the Jews, were written concerning the Jews. That there is none righteous, no not one, no one that understands. There is no who seeks God. It was particularly written to the Gentiles. To the Jews. It was descriptive of the Jews. Hallelujah. If you look at Romans chapter 2 carefully also, you find out how for being a Jew did not exclude men from being condemned by the law. Romans chapter 2. Hallelujah. From verse 1. Bible says, therefore you are inexcusable, O man. Whoever you are, who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is in accordance to the truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent hearts, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Hallelujah. It was referring to the Jews here. Men who were custodians of the oracles of God. Men who were in charge of the law. Men who were teaching the law and instructing men from the law. But they themselves were guilty according to the law. They were guilty. They were under sin. They were still slaves of sin. They were in need. Hallelujah. And you know, we're going to see Romans 1. We're going to see Romans 4. You see how Paul makes it clear that the Jews had no advantage over Gentiles in this matter of righteousness. Just because they were Jews. Just because they were natural descendants of Abraham. All men are justified on the same basis by faith. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So look at verse 12. Bible says, verse 12 of Romans 2, Bible says, for as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles, now, when he says doers of the law will be justified in this place, Paul was building an argument. That's not to say that anybody would be justified by what he does, because it's the same Paul that now says in Romans 3:20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Hallelujah. By the law is the knowledge of sin. So he's not talking about being justified by faith, by doing the deeds of the law. Glory to Jesus. It's building an argument. Paul is actually even showing how that nobody was obeying and fulfilling the demands of the law. Glory to Jesus. Now look at verse 15. Who show the work? Okay, let's see. Verse 14, for when Gentiles who do not know the law, who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law, these although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now look at verse 17, very key. Indeed you are called a Jew, and rest on the law, and make your boast in God, and know his will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. Interesting. Confident that you are a teacher. Confident that you have the law. Confident that you are able to instruct the foolish and the babes. Confident that you have the form of knowledge and truth in the law. Verse 21, you therefore will teach another, do you not teach yourself? You will preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You will say, do not commit adultery. Do you commit adultery? You will abhor idols. Do you rob temples? You will make your boast in the law. Do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. Hallelujah. So in spite of the fact that these guys had access to the law, and they had access to the oracles of God, and they were teaching men the same, they themselves had the same problem. Hallelujah. They had the same problem. So that reliance on the law or attempting to be justified by the law of Moses could not have worked, because they had a sin problem. They also needed to be saved. Glory to Jesus. That's why Romans chapter 1 verse 16, look at what it says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then also for the Greek. To the Jew first, also for the Greek. Hallelujah. Because both Jews and Gentiles have been concluded to be under sin. Glory to Jesus. Both Jews and Gentiles have been concluded to be under sin. Back to Romans chapter 3. Hallelujah. Romans 3. Let's pick it again from verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. So primarily the law speaks to those who are under the law. This speaks particularly about the Jews. The Jews, the Jewish people. The law was written to them. The law speaks to those who are under the law. Why? That every mouth may be stopped. For what purpose? That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. That is, when a Jew appears before the law and is resting on the law and is trying to be justified by the law, he is unaware of the fact that the law was written to actually condemn him. Praise God. The law was written to shut him up. The law was written to let him know that he is guilty in the sight of God. The law was written to let him know that he is in a state of condemnation and damnation, that he needs help. The law was written to prove to him that he has a sin problem. Hallelujah. The law was not written to justify anybody. The law was not given to make any man righteous. The law was written to prove to men that they are under sin. To prove to men that they have a sin problem. To prove to men that they need to be saved. Glory to Jesus. So it says to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may become guilty before God. Verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So what does the law do? The law actually ministers the knowledge of sin. Hallelujah. What does the law do? The law ministers the knowledge of sin. It shows men they are in need of salvation. It shows men they have a sin problem. It shows men that they have a spiritual depravity. They have a condition of spiritual depravity. They have a problem that needs to be addressed on time. Glory to Jesus. The law condemns men. It shows them their state. It's like a diagnosis. It shows men that they are sick. Glory to Jesus. So the law is not a cure. The law could not justify any man. Not the Jews, not the Gentiles, not the Nigerian Christian church today. Hallelujah. You know, it's quite unfortunate that the Nigerian church and, you know, some other churches in other nations have embraced the law as a means for justification. And many people are seeking to be justified by what they do. Because unknown to them, even the original recipients of the law were not justified by the law. Because the law only serves to prove to men that they have a sin problem. Hallelujah. They have a sin problem. So men cannot be justified by the law. Men are only exposed as having the sin problem by the law of Moses. Hallelujah. Look at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Have you seen? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no difference. When he says there is no difference, that is both Jews and Gentiles, there is no difference. The same spiritual condition, the same sin problem, the same need for salvation. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Verse 25, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation through his blood, through faith, propitiation by his blood through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Look at verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Look at verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is it the God of the Jews only? Is it not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God, who will justify the circumcised through faith and the uncircumcised through faith? Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. So we establish the law through faith by showing the purpose of the law. The law serves to expose men to a consciousness of their problem, a consciousness of the sin problem that they have. So God justifies both the Jews and the Greeks by the same approach, the same method, faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Faith in Christ Jesus. So it's a waste of time resting on the law, resting on works to be justified. Glory to Jesus. It's such a waste of time. Hallelujah. And then Paul now goes to Romans chapter 4. Look at what it begins. Of course, you know that these letters were not even written with chapters. Chapters came way later. Hallelujah. So Paul is just following the same. Paul is just writing in a stretch. And then, you know, but then let's see. The next thing Paul begins to discuss is how Abraham, the father of the Jews, was justified by faith in Christ. Was justified because he believed. Not because of what he did, but because he believed. Because you don't behave to become justified. You believe to be justified. Hallelujah. You don't behave to become righteous. You believe to be made righteous. Believing is what brings righteousness. Because it's by believing men receive the gift of eternal life. You can't behave yourself to have life. Life is a gift. Hallelujah. Life is a product of birth. Life is a product of... That's why being born again is a new birth. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 4, what then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh when he says our father, not the father of every man, glory to Jesus, the father of the Jews primarily, naturally. By extension, Abraham is called the father of faith because in him the whole families of the earth are blessed. Hallelujah. But by natural affiliation, Abraham was primarily the father of the Jews. Glory to Jesus. What shall we say Abraham has found according to the flesh? Verse 2, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. This is very interesting and staggering at the same time. Righteousness is to him that does not work. Hallelujah. The man that is working and working to become righteous will not find righteousness. The man that does not work and simply believes on him who justifies the ungodly is the one that finds righteousness and obtains righteousness in Christ. Hallelujah. This is amazing. To him that does not work, praise God. Praise God. In a world where a lot of people are emphasizing the need to do something to be made right with God, the Bible says categorically that being made right with God is as a result of doing nothing. You only receive. Hallelujah. You receive. It's a gift. Hallelujah. It says if you work for it, verse 4, it is not counted as grace. It's a debt. It's something you deserve. It's something, it's like a wage. Hallelujah. But because we do nothing, it is not a debt. It is not a form of salary or reward. It's a gift of God. Glory to Jesus. It's the gift of God. Romans chapter 4, look at verse 6. Bible says, therefore, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. God imputes righteousness apart from works. Hallelujah. God imputes righteousness apart from works. Because righteousness or being justified is about having the gift of eternal life. So you can't work to have life. You can't work to receive life. You can only believe unto righteousness. Glory to Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10. We'll come back to Romans 4. Romans 10, verse 9 to 10. Glory to Jesus. Bible says, but if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Have you seen? For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. So we don't behave to become righteous. We believe unto righteousness. Hallelujah. We believe unto righteousness. We believe unto righteousness. Because righteousness is a gift of faith. And righteousness is the same as the gift of eternal life. Hallelujah. So that means when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, look at this quickly. Matthew chapter 5, glory to God. Matthew chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5 verse 20. Look at what Jesus says here. For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you by no means enter the kingdom of God. When Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, he wasn't talking about doubling up your effort, trying to beat them, you know, in their game. No, it was talking about a different righteousness altogether. Righteousness different in quality and essence. Hallelujah. The kind of righteousness you cannot find in works. The kind of righteousness you cannot find by your deeds. The kind of righteousness that you cannot obtain by the things you do. Glory to Jesus. The kind of righteousness that does not come by doing. The kind of righteousness that comes only by believing. In fact, the righteousness that Jesus taught and advocated is the righteousness that comes by faith. That's why it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Many people have read that to mean, seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness that is righteous doing. No! Hallelujah! No, Jesus is talking about a specific kind of righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that is God's righteousness. And at this point in time, Jesus was referring to himself. Because Jesus in the midst of men was the kingdom of God in the midst of men. Hallelujah. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because righteousness is a gift. Righteousness is a person. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. Righteousness is a person. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1:30, Bible says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus is righteousness, is sanctification, is redemption. Hallelujah. Is wisdom from God. Because righteousness is a person. Glory to Jesus. So you don't double up your effort to beat the Pharisees. You are simply meant to believe unto righteousness by receiving the gospel. Glory to Jesus. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Paul is a classic example of a Pharisee. Paul is a classic example of a Pharisee. And the righteousness of the Pharisees that Jesus mentioned at Matthew chapter 5 verse 20 is the righteousness that is based on the works of the law. Righteousness that is based on obedience and a ritualistic obedience to the law. Righteousness that is based on meritorious performances. Righteousness that is based on self. The kind of righteousness you derive in the law of Moses is referred to as self-righteousness. That's the righteousness Jesus condemns. That's the righteousness Jesus says you must have, a righteousness that is different from this, that surpasses this. Righteousness different in quality and kind. Philippians chapter 3, glory to God. Look at Philippians chapter 3. I'll read from verse 6. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, this I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Have you seen? Count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. One of the things he counted as rubbish was his righteousness which is in the law, which according to the law was blameless. That is, Paul observed the law to the letter. Glory to Jesus. To the letter. Doesn't mean he was faultless, but he was not condemned. He was not found guilty by the law of the land. He was not found guilty. So according to the law, he was blameless. He was doing everything right. He was also observing the ceremonial laws that, you know, showed them that they could atone for their sins. So he considered himself blameless. He says, but I considered this rubbish. I counted it loss for all things. You know, I suffered the loss. I counted this loss. Rather, and count it as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Hallelujah. That is, my own righteousness is what I found in the law. Self-righteousness. It says, I'm counting it as dung. I counted it as rubbish. I let it go, so that I may be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness which is true faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The righteousness of God by faith. This is the righteousness that Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 5 verse 20. Look at Romans chapter 9 also. You know, I said to you that you don't behave yourself to become righteous. You don't act righteous so you become righteous. You don't do anything to become righteous. You don't behave and try to walk and try to obey the law to the letter to become righteous. You cannot be righteous by obeying the law. You can only be more self-condemned by obeying the law. Praise God. Because the only way God has set forth for righteousness, for to be made right with him, is to believe in the gospel of his son. Romans chapter 9, look at this very interesting portion of scripture. Romans 9 verse 30. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. Have you seen? Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness. Woo! This is mind-blowing. This is a scandal. Hallelujah! Gentiles who were not pursuing righteousness, those who were not pursuing righteousness, have obtained righteousness. Because righteousness is not something you get by pursuing righteousness. Righteousness is something you get simply by believing in the gospel of Christ Jesus. Look at verse 31. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. They were not seeking it by faith. They were seeking it by the works of the law. Hallelujah. The reason why Israel did not obtain the righteousness of God was because they were seeking it by the works of the law. They were seeking it by trying to be justified in themselves. They were seeking it by trying to do more and more and more and more. You see, the law would always demand that you do more and do more and do more and do more and do more and, your, and all that you ever do will never be good enough. But the Gentiles were not seeking righteousness at all. The Gentiles who did not have the law to even rely on in the first place have attained unto righteousness. Why? Because they simply sought it by faith. They received the gospel of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 10, Paul begins to lament about the Israelites. He begins to lament about their condition. Romans 10 from verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Have you seen? Seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. What is this, their own righteousness? And what is this righteousness of God? Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. The righteousness which is called their own righteousness is the righteousness found in the law. The righteousness of God is the righteousness that comes by believing in Christ, who is the end of the law. Hallelujah. Verse 5. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is in the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this wise. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Glory to Jesus. So righteousness is not something a man obtains by his attitude or conduct or character. It's not something you obtain by your moral uprightness. Glory to God. It is something you obtain only by faith in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. In fact, look at what Paul says here. Verse 11, Bible says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Glad tidings of good things. That is, the gospel announces good things. It's a glad tiding of good things. Hallelujah. The gospel announces things, announces gifts, announces benefits. Glory to Jesus. Things to be received. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is, this faith that brings righteousness, that brings justification, that gives eternal life, comes by hearing the word of God. The word of God in this context is the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. The gospel of Christ. Glory to Jesus. And then it's amazing that Paul now says in verse 19, quoting Isaiah, he says, but I say, quoting Moses rather, and then he quotes Isaiah again, But I say, did Israel not know? Verse 19, First Moses says, I'll provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I'll move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. It's amazing. Those who were not seeking God were those who found God. Why? Because the salvation experience, justification by faith, the gift of eternal life, is given to men not on the basis of their perseverance in seeking God or on the basis of their persistence in seeking God. No, it is on the basis of what Jesus did, such that Jesus is considered to be the one who came to seek and to save the lost. So we didn't find God. Hallelujah. God was not lost. We were found. It was God who found us. It was Christ who found us. So I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. So justification is not by works. Couldn't have been by works. It's only by faith in Christ Jesus. Back to Romans chapter 4. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 4. So the Jews have no advantage over Gentiles in this matter of righteousness and sin, because God justifies both Jews and Gentiles on the same basis. Hallelujah. God justifies both Jews and Gentiles by the same approach, the same method, the same access by faith is granted to Jews and Gentiles. And both Jews and Gentiles are concluded and condemned as being under sin, outside faith in Christ. There's no special qualification. There's no special advantage that the Jews had in this matter. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 4. Bible says in verse 6, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Have you seen? The Bible now says in verse 9, does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. Hallelujah. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who have the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith. Listen to this. Verse 16. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who have the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Hallelujah. The father of us all. You know, I said earlier that in the context of the gospel, Abraham is the father of us all. Hallelujah. But by natural affiliation, Abraham is the father of the Jews. Glory to Jesus. But verse 16 is very key. It says the promise is of faith, so that the promise can be sure to all men. Hallelujah. To all them that believe. You know, because if it was by the law of Moses, nobody would be justified. Hallelujah. The Jews wouldn't have been justified by the law of Moses. Romans 3:20 again, or 19. It says, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may become guilty before God. Hallelujah. In fact, the law was ministering condemnation. The law was ministering judgment. Glory to Jesus. It's the law Bible refers to as the letter that killeth. The letter that killeth is not the epistles. When we read the Bible, it kills us until we now depend on the Holy Ghost for interpretation. It doesn't make sense. Hallelujah. The letters of the apostles could not have been killing people. These were the letters they read to the first century Christians. These were the letters they fed upon. These were the letters that brought spiritual maturity to men in the early church. These were the letters that were sent and circulated all through the churches that they were reading to people, and they were receiving light and illumination. Hallelujah. In fact, Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prayed for the Ephesians that the eyes of the understanding may be enlightened, that they may know, you know, the hope of his calling and all that. And then he goes to Ephesians chapter 3, and at Ephesians 3, verse 5, he says, I've written this to you so that when you read, you may understand my mystery in the knowledge of Christ. When you read, glory to Jesus, because the letters of the apostles do not kill. The letters or the epistles of the apostles do not minister death. The letters of the apostles bring illumination. They bring light. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4. By which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Ephesians 3, 4 to 5. So whatever the apostles wrote was the Spirit giving life. Hallelujah. Whatever the apostles have written to the churches is the Spirit giving life to men. Hallelujah. It's the Spirit giving illumination, bringing light to the hearts of men. Glory to God. So at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the letter that killeth is the law of Moses. 2 Corinthians 3, glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, hallelujah. So the law could not justify anyone. The law ministered condemnation, ministered death, ministered judgment. It's the letter that kills. 2 Corinthians 3, I'll read from verse 4. Bible says, and we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter that kills, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So what is the Spirit that gives life? The new covenant. What is the letter? Hallelujah. What is the letter? The old covenant. Verse 7, but if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, what was written and engraved on stones? The law of Moses. And he refers to it as the ministry of death. So that's the letter that kills. So that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how would the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. So the law is called the ministry of condemnation. The law is called the ministry of death. Hallelujah. It's called the letter that kills. So relying on the law for justification is a waste of time. The law cannot justify. It will only minister condemnation, judgment, and death to those that rely upon it. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what Paul was talking about at Romans chapter 7. The exact thing Paul was talking about. Glory to Jesus. For relying on the law, Paul discovered that the law continually ministered judgment and condemnation and death to him. Romans chapter 7, glory to God. Romans 7, look at this now. Romans chapter 7, I'll read from verse 7. Bible says, for what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not, on the contrary. I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Hallelujah. Verse 9, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Have you seen? That's the law ministering condemnation and judgment to this man when he was under the law. Glory to Jesus. So all the while he says, according to the law, I was blameless and all that. He was experiencing this kind of struggle. And that's the same way people who claim to be relying on the law and claim to be doing so good all by themselves today because of their devotion to the law, obedience to the law, they are just deceiving themselves. The truth is, those men are under condemnation on a regular basis. The law is ministering, the law is doing a good job of ministering condemnation and death to them. Hallelujah. And that's why you discover that many of the people who are drawn out, you know, I'm an example also. Some of you listening to me, you know, can also bear witness to this as you know, by way of personal experience. I'm an example. Many of the people that are drawn out of legalism, drawn out of relying on the law for justification, eventually when they come out, they begin to confess to you how it was such a struggle. Hallelujah. But you know, while you are still under it and you are defending it and you are preaching it fervently and zealously to others, you don't want to let them know. You don't have the integrity. Glory to Jesus. You don't have the integrity, the humility, the sincerity, the brokenness, the meekness to admit that you are going through such a struggle. Glory to Jesus. You don't have it. So you rather be patching up things, acting as though all is fine, all is well, until, you know, the law actually gives way, until yourself, your efforts, your ego actually gives way to the knowledge of Christ. Hallelujah. The moment you come into the knowledge of Christ, you begin to admit and acknowledge that, wow, it was not an easy thing. You begin to confess and let us know how that it was such a struggle. You were not justified and you knew it. You were not getting better and you knew it. Glory to Jesus. You know, it was until Paul came out of the law. It was until he came out of the law, came out of the sect of the Pharisees, he began to confess. Glory to Jesus. He began to tell us what was happening all through those years. That's what Romans 7 is about. He began to show us, he began to give us a preview into what happens to the man that is living his life based on the law, that is trying to be justified by the law of Moses. Hallelujah. Such an inner struggle, such a conflict going on regularly within him. Hallelujah. Every day it occurred to him that the good he wanted to do, he could not do. He was intimately acquainted with the fact that, see, there's another law at work in his members. There was another law at work in his members called sin. There was such a force within him that made it impossible for him to live for God. Hallelujah. He came to a daily realization, a regular realization of the fact that, see, the good that I want to do, how to perform it, I do not find. The strength, the ability is absent. Glory to Jesus. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. He understood this, but he could not talk about this freely when he was still making his boast in the law. Hallelujah. You know, the Pharisees were making their boast in the law. Making their boast in the law. At Luke chapter 18, I'll close with this today. We'll continue tomorrow, the next episode. At Luke 18, see how they were making their boast in the law, yet they were not justified by the law. Yet they were just like every other person. Yet they were also struggling. Glory to Jesus. And that's what you find in the church today. Many of the people who are so much passionate and zealous for the law are equally going through hard times. Equally going through such a struggle. Equally going through such inward conflicts. In their attempt to be justified by the law. But they won't tell you the truth until they come out. Just like you and I could not say the truth until we came out of it. You know, because it's when you come out, it's like a veil. When you come out of it, you now see a difference. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. You now see a difference. You just see a difference. And then you discover that, oh, I was really suffering and smiling. Luke 18, I'll read from verse 9. Bible says also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Verse 10, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Hallelujah. The exaltation of God is justification. The way God exalts is by justifying men. The way God humbles, hallelujah, is by showing men that they are guilty of their sins. Guilty in spite of their self-righteousness. In this context, glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. So you see that they trusted in themselves. In fact, the Bible says the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. He wasn't praying to God. He was praying to himself. Oh God. He was praying with himself. I thank God that I'm not like other men. That's not praying to God. You know, that's busy boasting over God's shoulders. Hallelujah. Or boasting over the shoulder of another man. Glory to Jesus. You're just boasting and bragging in the name of God. In quotes. He prayed thus with himself. I thank my God I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. The truth is, he was like other men. He himself was an adulterer, most likely. He himself was unjust. He himself was an extortioner, most likely. It was the Pharisees, Jesus says, you know, they would devour widows' houses. They would make long prayers for in pretense just to devour widows' houses. They would swallow a camel and squeeze out something very little and tiny and all that. These guys were extortioners. Hallelujah. Extortioners. Jesus actually called them out for their evil ways. And there is here bragging, saying, I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. He was actually like other men. Praise God. So, but until you come out of the law, you won't be able to acknowledge the fact that salvation, justification by faith in Christ Jesus is the only way out. You won't be able to confess, openly admit that you were weak and helpless under the law of Moses. Glory to Jesus. We'll continue from here tomorrow. Do go to tune in. Invite somebody. Invite your friends. Talk about it. Hallelujah. Shout about it. Let us come together to have a great time in the word of God. Don't be selfish. This good feast, should not be happening to you alone. Should not be happening to you alone. You shouldn't be the only one feeding on this. Invite people to come hear the word of life. Hallelujah. Put it on your WhatsApp status, share on Facebook, tweet it. Hallelujah. And let people come around to be blessed by the word of God. Glory to Jesus. I believe strongly that the gospel is prevailing. The word of God is prevailing in my own time. It will be said in my own generation that so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Hallelujah. We are not giving up. We are not backing down. We are not retiring anytime soon. We are preaching the word of God for many decades. We are bringing many more people into the knowledge of the done, finished work of Christ Jesus. This is our allegiance. Hallelujah. This is our allegiance. This is our allegiance. This is our vow till the end of time, till everywhere is lighted up by the gospel of Christ Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Do have a great day of being full of the word, full of the Holy Ghost, full of prayers, full of spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. Share the gospel with somebody. You can go ahead and share with somebody what you learned today. That's a way to have a great day. Hallelujah. See you in the next episode.